Welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this is episode 21 on March 23rd, 2018, celebrating the one-year anniversary of this podcast. I've got clips and call-ins and all kinds of goodies for you today, so whether you're making an anniversary cake, celebrating an anniversary of your own, or doing anything else as part of your sugar arts life, come join me for some trips down memory lane and the big roads of Texas and beyond as we all celebrate a year of shared learning and joy. Happy one-year anniversary for this podcast! It's been an exciting, hilarious, exhausting year of getting people on the show, getting all of you involved, and I cannot say thank you enough to everyone who has participated, from those who called in short clips to those who kept coming back for longer segments and just contributing so much towards this show. When I started it last year, I wasn't sure exactly what format this show would take. Early on, it became obvious that everyone was happiest with a chat-style show, where I talk to my cake friends wherever and whenever I can, and then play the conversations. I tried at first to keep the show fairly short, but audience members told me they liked the longer chats because they have lots of decorating hours open for listening, so now episodes are each the length they need to be, all depending on who is on, if I've got call-ins, if I've got clips from other people, whatever. So for this anniversary show, I'm going to do a review of the last year with some of my favorite bits from the episodes that have come so far, plus clips listeners told me they liked best. I've tried to group things in a logical manner, but there's a lot of overlap and some topics keep coming back over and over again. So I'm going to start out with what's at the heart of the show and then get into how some of the conversations have yielded just really great tips and hints, and then we'll move through to the wacky and silly stories and repeated in-jokes that have evolved over the last year. Remember, you can always go back and listen to any episode completely for free anytime that suits you. Go to eat-the-evidence.com/podcast for the full list of past episodes. Or if you're using a podcast app, you should be able to download past episodes from there as well. So let's start off by reminding everyone what I announced way back in the pilot about who this show is for. At the time, there was a lot of ugliness in the news about who from what country should be allowed to go where, and while this isn't a political podcast, I put my foot down hard from the start that Eat the Evidence has always been about the sugar arts bringing people together. I've been saying all along that I would rather have a small audience of great people who welcome each other over a large audience that includes people who spew hate. So anybody who doesn't like that declaration is on their own. Here's the clip of what I said back in the pilot. This podcast is for everyone who loves the sugar arts. This is an LGBT-friendly space. This is for people from every country, of every religion, and that includes no religion. It is for people of all colors, shapes, and sizes. It's for young folks and old folks and cake newbies and high-end professionals. This podcast is about spreading massive amounts of love, support, and so much icing, really, so just so much icing. So no matter who you are, where you are, whom you love, whatever else you've got going on in your life, you're invited to come play along with everyone else. We're in this together, guys! So yeah, from the start, this show has been about encouraging and helping each other. As I was first gearing up to do it, I started posting what I called cake formations regularly on Facebook. Just little messages reminding everyone that you're doing a good job, that we all understand your struggles, and other little words I hoped would make people feel like they could get through the hard parts of their day and get their job done. Here's a really early clip from the legendary Nick Lodge along the same lines.
Hi, this is Nick Lodge, and just telling you, you're doing a great job, so remember to breathe, and you'll be great.
And here are some of the other cake formations I've recorded with other folks over the last year.
Hey, this is Mike McCary, and whatever you're imagining is happening, it's not really happening, it's just late. So keep working on your cake.
Hi, I'm Jean Chapelwall from Cakes with Character from Hicksville, Long Island. And I just want to say, when you're having a bad cake moment, which I've had many, I always step back. And during the day, this is the best thing. Go outside, look at the sky, and you realize how small and insignificant you are in the world. And just think about what somebody else is doing miles or worlds away from you. And then you can come back and have a fresher perspective, and you can crank that cake out.
Hi, Melissa Reese, Edible Art Supply by Lissy Cakes.
What would you like to hear at like 3 o'clock in the morning when you hate cake and stuff's bad? Yep. What are you going to tell them?
Oh my God, I've been through it before. Keep going. Don't stop. I know you're tired. I've been there before. You keep going. And when you're done, it's going to be beautiful and you're going to celebrate. Okay? It's all worth it. I've been in the business 17 years and I haven't stopped.
Sometimes it feels a bit trite to say random encouraging words to a wide open audience. I frequently make jokes like, hey you, yeah you, right now, doing that thing. That pedal you just made is perfection. I mean, I don't know if someone listening just made a pedal or not, but on the chance that one of you did, yeah you rocked it. So I'm half kidding, but I'm also half serious, because even though each of you knows that I can't actually see what you're doing, well, except for you. Yeah, that one person out there, I can totally see you. And that cake you're working on is seriously awesome. So even aside from the joke of it, there is the serious truth that all of you out there are doing amazing work, even if it's not while you listen. This audience is full of super talented people making gorgeous sugar art for all kinds of shows and sales and everything else. But sometimes there are very specific ways the cake community comes together for people in need. Groups like Icing Smiles and Bake-A-Wish come up in interviews a lot because of the massive generosity of our community. And even more specifically, there are heartwarming stories of how we take care of our own people, like this one about 2T Stencils, told by Cindy Autry and Amy Ford from the San Antonio Sugar Arts Show in their interview for episode 4.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Tammy, The Sunday night that they were heading back to, they were staying at the hotel and to head back to home after the show that evening, had their vehicle broken into and had everything taken completely, laptop product. And we had several other vendors in the community. Poppy Paint started it up, and there were other, I think I heard there was a drawing given away where all these other vendors came together and raise money to help Tammy and Todd back by, you know, donating their products for people to, I guess they were going to put door
like
prize,
a raffle
or something like that. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, they raised about $2,600 to help them out, get some of their stuff back.
That's amazing. So I mean, it's so sad, but that is amazing. That is some really positive community work right there.
It is. We have an amazing community. This is why whenever we hear that there's, you know, there's the dreaded cake drama, we're like, oh no, come on. We're supposed to be happy. This is sweet. You know, this is sugar. So, so when I hear things like that, it's awesome. It's just amazing that, you know, we have such an awesome community that, you know, they all just got together and I didn't win. I wanted to win. I tried to give as much as I could. But no, it was really cool. You know, there was several, I think Lula's Goodies, Poppy Paint.
I think Cake World.
Cake Supply World. There's some new vendors and it was really cool. And I know Tammy and Todd were extremely grateful for it. And they're really just a neat couple. I love them. Yeah.
Yeah, they have great products.
They do.
On episode 9, I was joined by Michelle Boyd, Mallory Mae Ragland, and Sachiko Winbeal. And while that whole episode is full of great stories, one that really brings together the elements of being a stressed sugar artist and how a random bit of help can save the day is Mal's story of trying to assemble her entry at the Oklahoma State Sugar Arts Show.
Mal, I remember you posting, was it the Oklahoma thing where you were running around looking for isomalt?
Oh, I wasn't looking for isomalt. It was the torch that we brought. I had a giant isomalt pole, like a 6-foot pole. No, she was 5'7", so it was a 5-foot pole made out of isomalt. And we had brought a torch. And of course, me being just walking chaos that I am, we showed up late. I didn't think the piece was even going to make it on the floor. So I get into frantic mode where no one or nothing else around me exists besides finishing the task at hand. It's Michelle's torch because I've never used this gigantic. It was like a gigantic.
It was like the regular hardware store torch where you put the big blue tank of propane on the bottom.
Yep.
So you think this gigantic torch would be enough, right, for to adhere, you know, a 4-foot cookie woman onto this isomalt pole? And you're like, yeah, that's plenty. We're good. But of course, on the floor, as we're holding this gigantic cookie up against the pole, the torch just stops.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work. Something happened. I don't know. I'm frantic. Technically, Michelle can't help me put up the piece, but I'm like, just hold her. So she's on the Oklahoma floor holding up this woman made out of 3 12-inch cookies or something like that. I'm running to the Oklahoma State Fair, and I mean not just the cake show floor. I'm running through the entire fair because we only have...
She goes through the pig exhibit, the pennies, the sheep and the goats, and
every food vendor, everything. Like, do you have a microwave? Do you have a microwave? And no one had a microwave, but luckily we found just a tiny little torch from
Joshua John Russell, Mallory's hero.
I am now ever eternally grateful to him. And me being an outsider of the cake world, like so many times Michelle goes, oh, that's blah blah blah, and I'm like, who? And it's like some some famous person that, like, as a cake person you should know. So I didn't even know, like, I no offense to anyone at all, but that was my only experience with Mr. Joshua John Russell. He is now he is an angel in my eyes, a wonderful human being, because he says, please use my torch. And he must have saw me running around like a crazy person. And I was like, thank you so much. So with minutes before the deadline, we torched this cookie woman to her isomalt pole and got it set up on the table where
that
we couldn't even reach.
The tallest cookie I've ever seen in my entire life.
It was the same cookie whose base was on top of the minivan. So that cookie just had, she went from bottom of the base to the top of her head. She was 5'7" tall. 12 cookies made up the entire structure. She had some challenges there, but I think it is like, just like the stuff from working outside and being able to work in different environments is what made that okay.
That was like the most technically challenging cookie ever.
Yeah, I wanted it to be the tallest thing in the room at Oklahoma, and it was. So I felt successful no matter what I placed.
We could see her from across the room all the time.
Seriously, that episode was full of so many great clips and stories that I ended up making a joke movie trailer about the whole thing, for which I totally stole Joshua John Russell's voice from his Man About Cake videos, and I still hope he doesn't hate me for it.
From the producers of Cakes on a Plane comes another story of adventure.
You have to be like a shark. You have to keep moving forward or you die.
Friendship.
It's weird when you stalk people and then they become your friend. We weren't even drunk.
And song.
We're all in this together, High School Musical style.
Did you know I am a good singer?
Join Michelle Boyd.
That was like a crash course.
Sachiko Winville.
The next day, we don't know. I might die.
And Mallory Mae Ragland.
I'm frantic, but I'm a walking ball of chaos.
On a ride of a lifetime.
And then we got back from Taco Bell and realized that we had left a tray of cookie pieces on top of the car.
Share their laughs. Their anguish.
Well, as someone who is not growing, you're all jerks.
And their adventures through the Oklahoma State Fair.
I'm running through the Oklahoma State Fair, and I mean not just the cake show floor. I'm running through the entire fair.
She goes through the pig exhibit, the sheep and the goats, and
every food vendor, everything. Like, do you have a microwave? Do you have a microwave?
With a surprise guest star superhero.
I'm Joshua John Russell.
Joshua John Russell.
Joshua John Russell.
Mallory's hero.
I am now ever eternally grateful to him. That was my only experience with Mr. Joshua John Russell. He is an angel in my eyes, a wonderful human being, because he says, please use my torch.
And an unexpected villain.
There's a local place here that serves a 3-pound cinnamon roll.
Experience the artistry, the majesty, and the underpaid thrill ride that is the sugar arts industry until one of them is ready to explode in a way that could tear them all apart.
Oh my goodness, Murray's water just blocked.
There's just a very maternal vibe there. If something happens, we can fix it. If there's no way to fix it, we can hide it.
You're growing a human inside of you.
Ew, stop.
Who's gonna stop me? Nobody.
It's gonna be okay. This is gonna be a hot mess. I'm never gonna be able to show my face again. I don't understand why everyone can't just get along.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the kitchen, you realize you're up to your elbows in royally screwed icing. Coming this holiday season to the cinemas of our sugar-fueled dreams, a taken-out-of-context production, rated PG-13.
I took a little bit of offense to that, but, you know, it is what it is. I want more!
When I interviewed Mitchie Curran of Mitchie's Munchies in Las Vegas for episode 12, she said she thinks Joshua John Russell would be amused by the trailer, so I'm hoping that's true. Mitchie and I also spoke a few times in her episode about the silly sound cues I've been making for various repeat guests or people whose names come up a lot, such as Kyla Myers, whom I call the Cake Nexus.
Cake Nexus!
Mike McCary, the Cake God.
Mike McCary, he's the Cake God.
Don Parrott, the Royal Icing Whisperer. And a couple of others I played in this clip with Mitchie.
My favorite part of my studio is my color wall, so I'll send it to you. And maybe it'll inspire you on how to organize your colors.
Oh, cool. So can I put that in the show notes too? Put a picture of your color wall?
Of course.
Cool. All of our entire listenership, which is, I think, crossed 135 people based on the downloads. Woo-hoo!
Well,
yeah.
Debbie Gord, hashtag GordFans, I had posted a video and my color wall was behind me and she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't pay attention to that video because I couldn't believe how organized all of your color was.
Oh, we have a Debbie Gord sound cue too now.
All hail Queen Debbie!
So,
you have one for her too?
Yeah, I'm because so we kept talking about the towels.
I want everyone's sounds in our podcast. I want to hear them all.
Okay, I will make sure that they're all strong. There's a Jackie Kelly one.
Hi-ya!
Maybe we should make one for you. I don't know, what kind of sound cue do you want?
Probably like a clown one. That's me.
It might be literally just, I may just clip that now. Oh, I should use that to like bleep other people from now on. That is now my official new, someone has used a naughty word I wasn't able to edit out because of context or whatever. That is now the bleep noise. Other than for Jackie Kelly, I use bagpipes to bleep her.
It'll be the Mitchie bleep.
That's the Mitchie bleep. Are you doing that with your actual face? Because that is amazing.
I am. I'm actually, I touch my nose, but I'm making the sound with my mouth. It's a trick that I learned when I was a professional clown. You didn't hear that. I'll send you a picture of that too.
I feel like we've barely scratched the surface with you.
I told you I have a very colorful past.
Huh. That was a really interesting noise Mitchie made right there. I wonder if anyone recognizes that sound from a little contest that was held in episode 20. Because as of the posting of this episode, nobody has won the bucket of satin ice burgundy fondant Mary Carmen Gonzalez promised to send to the first person who emails me at podcast@eat-the-evidence.com. So while I said in that last episode that the contest would be over by this episode, nobody's won yet. So hop on your email now and win. Again, only the first person who sends me the answer wins. Anywhere in the world. Mitchie and I have been dropping bang-on-the-head hints all over social media, too, and a few people have told me they know the answer, but they wanted to let someone else win. So, email me now if you want that bucket, and hopefully by next episode, an actual winner can be announced. Speaking of free tidbits of information, it really is worth going back and listening to past episodes, not just for the cake formations and funny stories, and I will be sharing some of those funny stories later in this episode, but it's been amazing how casual conversations with sugar artists end up in randomly dropped helpful hints all over the place. Like this revelation from Don Parrott in episode 1.
I don't know if you know this about those drop flower tips. Have you ever noticed the difference between couplers? Wilton has the couplers that have that little piece cut out of it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, all my couplers look the same.
Have you ever seen the ones that have a little notch out of it?
No.
Okay, they're by Wilton, and I think you can still get them by other companies. And for the longest time, I never knew this, but this is a little tip for anyone who does have the couplers that have a little notch out of the side. It's actually like literally, I don't know, maybe a quarter inch by close to a half an inch down. It's actually got a hole in the side. It's actually for those drop flower tips, because that little metal piece inside, what happens is you put the tip on and then you put on your coupler ring, and when you twist it, the actual piece of metal inside gets locked in that little, the little notch that's cut out, so your tip doesn't twist while you twist your hand.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't even... I noticed the piece of metal inside, obviously, because I'm sure that's going to be fun to clean. But I didn't even notice it sticking out the side. I'm going to have to go have a look.
Yeah, and it's not outside, it's inside.
Right. Like, oh, I see. Okay.
On the inside of the tip. But when you put your coupler on, you know, it fits above the coupler. That little cutout that's there, that when you put on your coupler ring, yeah. Once it turns and it gets itself stuck into that little slot so that the tip does not turn. So it doesn't affect your flowers. Without that little notch, depending on your pressure, the tip could continuously spin. And if the tip spins, you won't get such a pretty drop flower.
Right. Okay. Now I know what the notch you mean. I thought you meant in the outer ring. You mean on the inner sleeve. Yes. Yes. I know the notch you mean. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Why those couplers were made.
Oh, I just assumed that was some kind of plastic or pressure management.
They're made for those tips that have the little metal spikes inside.
Well, there you go.
Dawn and so many other presenters at the November Cake International Show in Birmingham helped me fill episode 15 with tons of other great tips and tricks, so be sure to go listen to that one as well. When Cindy Autry and Amy Ford were on talking about their cake show in episode 4, they came up with some very specific advice that many of us involved with shows keep saying over and over again. And yet, clearly, we need to say some more.
I mean, we like to theme the competition pieces along with the show. You know, we like all the pieces to be submitted to be completely themed, whether you're doing cookies, whether you're doing cake, where you're doing structure, whatever it is.
Sugar art,
whatever it is, we like to keep it themed. And I know that was a big question out there about, or not question, but there was a topic about reading the rules. So... Ruth did come in after our show and...
Right before we announced awards.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. Right before we announced the awards about reading rules, because we had some cake boards that were larger than what the rules were stating.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was actually 2/3 of the cake boards that were submitted were larger than what were within the rules. So had they eliminated those, I mean, we wouldn't have had anybody competing. So the judges, you know, they came to us and we just, you know, we left it alone and said, no, you know what, let's just make it.
We decided to just address it at the awards ceremony so people could be mindful to read their competition rules, even though it may be, you know, you've done so many competitions, you know what the rules are, just give them a glance over and make sure that, you know, your dimensions are on point. And I know somebody even called to ask about height. We didn't have any height restrictions.
Yep. There are things that we learned as well, too, that we need to fix, you know, so.
So, or just, you know, make clear in the rules. But, yeah, it was, it's just always to keep that in your mind when you're competing, because, one, our show is, the competition is theme-based, and, two, the, you know, dimensions do matter.
I spoke with Michelle Green from the Business of Baking blog and podcast, and there's another podcast you should definitely add to your listening list while you decorate, and you can find it in your podcast app or at the Biz of Baking, as in B-I-Z, thebizofbaking.com/podcasts, plural, and I'll link to it in show notes as well. When she was on in episode 14, currently the most popular episode going by statistics on SoundCloud... We spoke at length about making sure you don't get stars in your eyes when brands want you on board, leading to my favorite quote from the show at the end of this clip.
I think it has changed to a degree now. Like, certainly I see cake makers now who are sponsored by various companies and whatever, but I still think we have a long way to go. And if I can just temporarily climb on my soapbox now, there is a massive resurgence of companies going, oh, we can use cake makers and bloggers and, you know, well-known cake artists, and we can pimp them out for some free product. And I'm kind of over here going like, you know what? Free fondant tastes delicious, but doesn't really feed my children.
Mm-hmm.
So how about we not do that? And sending someone a coat with your brand slapped all over it and sending them a box of cool stuff, not covering anybody's electricity bills. So
very good.
The good news is that as an industry, I think we are getting better at that whole PR and marketing and, you know, that kind of area. But I think we still have a long way to go. I find it quite appalling, actually, the bigger companies that are sending product and coats and thinking that this now means they own you. Right. Yeah. And they expect you to sign all these sort of crazy agreements, but no money changes hands. And I'm always like, how does that work?
I keep joking that the lucrative world of podcasting will be like when I have a sponsor who will send me to shows or whatever so I can cover them. But I also, the other side to that joke is I'm too mouthy. And I use a variety of products. I use what I like. I mean, I'm very on record with saying that I like AmeriColor. They've never sent me anything free. I mean, they were free in Austin cake show goodie bags, but not anything directly to me. I would happily represent that brand because I already do, just because I like it, but they don't need me to because they're AmeriColor.
Yeah, it seems to be quite the trend at the moment to get cake artists on board as ambassadors or artists of excellence or representatives or whatever fancy marketing word you want to use. And the translation to that is they work for free and we send them some free stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And some of my friends are worked to the bone. I'm not going to name names. There are some friends of mine who, when I go to a cake show now, they can't even stop and say hello because they're working. And I hope they're being paid, but I don't know that they are. And I worry.
I can tell you assuredly that the vast majority are not getting paid.
That's my suspicion.
In anything other than product, maybe. Yes. Look, I think the good news is that brands are starting to realize the power of the people, which is great. But I think we have a long way to go in terms of getting us our recognition. Or as I like to say, you know, people actually die of exposure.
Seriously, I keep going around other episodes and cake shows and everywhere now saying, Michelle Green said it best, people die of exposure. Whenever the conversation turns to how often people want us to make cakes or write articles or do other things for the exposure instead of for pay. Remember, you and your work and your art is worth something. And if exchanging time and labor for product works for you, that's awesome. But never feel like it's inappropriate to let anybody who wants your time and labor know that it's worth money too. Those of you who are actually working on a project right now, you're deep into it, you're working really hard, I want you to pause for a second. I want you to sit back, close your eyes, take a deep breath. No, come on, do this with me now. Sit back, close your eyes, deep breath. Working really hard. Stuff may not always be going well. Maybe stuff is going great. Whatever's happening, I want you now to slowly open your eyes and look at what you've made. Okay, maybe it's still got some problems. Maybe you're not done. Look at what you've made. You're so good at this. You are going to rock this cake. You are so amazing, and I have faith that you're going to get this done and everyone's going to love it. That cake cremation is one several people have mentioned as their favorite, because they find it calming and almost like cake yoga. If there are other things you'd find it helpful to hear in an episode, be sure to let me know. You can email me, ping me on Facebook, or even leave me messenger voicemail all about it. Listener Haley Boykin from Haley's Cookie Cakery in Texas called in to talk about her favorite bit from the show over the last year.
Hey, Kim and the Eat the Evidence audience. This is Haley Boykin with TheBakingLifestyle.com. I just wanted to drop a line here and say that one of my favorite segments from this past year of Eat the Evidence is the segment about Kim Googles for you. In particular, this episode was about active charcoal and things, and you went in and Googled it, and I just thought that was so funny because you put the segment together so well, and it kind of gave you a break from, you know, the conversation, but it was really funny, and I'd love to see more stuff like that from you. So thank you for everything you do, Kim. Keep up the good work, and I can't wait to hear more.
Haley's referring to episode number 17, where Heather Sherman of Art to Eat Cakes in Colorado and I were talking about the weirdness of different international laws regulating food coloring, and the subject of activated charcoal came up.
You know, if someone's making a figure topper and they add a little bit of blush to a cheek on one of these, you know, dusts that's, you know, decorative use only, I'm not going to quibble that. But, you know, you see some cakes and they are covered top to bottom in disco. Yep. First of all, that's like $20 worth of disco dust.
Right.
And that's not okay, people. You can't do that.
Oh, I watched a video where a person was mixing a latte with the holographic rainbow white, you know, disco dust stuff. And she dumps like a quarter teaspoon into this latte and stirs it up. And it's, ooh, look how pretty, you know. And it was a viral video. It had like a million views.
Of course it did,
because
it was pretty.
People tagging their friends. Yeah.
That's right. Oh, okay. So the other one I'm annoyed at right now, and in fact, I just told off one of my grocery stores here because they were selling a drink with this. Activated charcoal is a medicine, people. You should not be putting it. It is not a food coloring. I don't care if it makes your ice cream, like, because there was a whole thing over the summer about activated charcoal and ice cream. Let's talk about what activated charcoal does. It is used by poison control. So, like, if you ingest a poison, it pulls the poison out of your body. That is a legitimate use to put activated charcoal in your body. Some people use it as for digestion stuff under the care of a physician. Because another thing that activated charcoal does is it absorbs the medication you've taken, including the birth control pill. So if you you can go and drink one of these, like this Ocado, this grocery store it's an online ordering grocery store, right? That's where I order my groceries from every week. They just posted on Facebook how they have this new, you know, health shake that's got activated charcoal. And I'm like, whoa, guys, do you have a warning on that about the fact that that could negate birth control pills, life-saving medication? Like, I mean, if you're diabetic and you're on metformin and you take activated charcoal, guess what's not working anymore? Your metformin.
Yep.
If you're on antibiotics.
I found that one out the hard way.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten. I had an ice cream cone. It was a black ice cream cone.
Yeah, this was a big trend.
And I totally spaced it. And I'm like, why do I feel like I'm going to die right now? And I realized it was because of the ice cream cone, the black ice cream with the activated charcoal.
That's
in it. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
You are so right.
I mean, because when I first saw this trend, the ice cream trend coming, I was like, there's something a little weird to me, but I'm going to research that. And it just took one Google to find out that, it's not that you can't eat it. It's not that it's poison. It's that it is a medicine used under the care of a physician. And if you start putting it in things, if you want to make a dark, dark cake, I'm sorry, you're better off with a squirt of AmeriColor, whatever anyone says about these E-number codes. You are better off with that big old squirt of AmeriColor than activated charcoal, because AmeriColor isn't going to negate your birth control pills.
Or your kid's medication. What if you bring a kid to a party, like you say?
Yeah.
And it's the one time of year he eats cake, or, you know, Elmo's right, let's have some sometimes food. What would you rather have him have? You know, a mouthful of black fondant that makes his teeth black, or something that's going to make his medication stop?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. No. Yeah. If anyone out there is using activated charcoal as a colorant, stop it now. Because that is really dangerous. I can't believe that's not more regulated. I can't believe Ocado can just say, oh, we've got this new shake. And no medical labels on it whatsoever. That is scary.
It is scary.
That is something where we need regulation. Scary. We don't need regulation because I want to make a Cookie Monster cake. That's, okay, the Cookie Monster, you know, now we're talking about licensed images, whatever. That's a whole different story.
Uh-oh.
But if someone wants to make...
That. She didn't say... She said, cookie eater.
No, it's a biscuit eating blue fuzzy man.
Yes, there you go.
Biscuit eating blue fuzzy man. Biscuit eating blue fuzzy man. If I'm going to make a biscuit eating blue fuzzy man, this is all the Southerners are like, what? What does the thing like gravy? Huh?
Yeah. But like, if you're going to make, you know, you use the grass tip, right? And you put your fondant eyes on it and you stick a half cookie in it on the top of a cupcake. That is a good beginner level, you know, any parent can do it with their kids, you know, party decorating trick, right? If you eat that blue icing, that is not going to hurt you. But if you made those cupcakes with activated charcoal in it, it's going to hurt you. But which one's more regulated is the blue.
Right.
That blue food coloring is more regulated than the activated charcoal, and I find that terrifying.
And even if you made an omu in red, it would be okay because it's a sometimes food.
Right. Well, and also the red, people get all panicky about red food coloring. Guys, it's not 1950. It's 2017. Yeah. The stuff that was really, really toxic in 1950 in red food coloring has been illegal for decades. Yeah. It is not that carcinogenic, nasty stuff. It is different.
Yep. I remember when they took red M&Ms out, and then when they came back, I was like, hey, red M&Ms are bad. I mean, it's so funny, too, when people freak out because they're like, oh, my God, what do you mean it's made from beagles? They're like, what's wrong with okay, all natural?
Since I know.
Yay, Starbucks. Right.
Every time someone goes on about natural, there was a new healthy food store, quote-unquote, opened up in Austin. Which tells you something already. And I went to check it out to see what it had, right? And this guy beside me, we're looking at the meat counter, and he says, do you think this is all natural? And I looked at him, I said, well, uranium's natural.
Yep.
He's like,
so
oh.
So is arsenic and cyanide, and that's a byproduct from mining. That's, yummy.
There's cyanide and apple seeds, so, you know, I mean, that's natural.
Yeah.
There's all kinds
all
of things
natural.
That you know, once upon a time, a T-Rex was natural, and it would kill you, so, like,
that's right.
Natural.
Salt's natural, but and so's water. But if you take either one of those too much, you're gonna die.
That's right. So much good natural stuff, guy. Just activated charcoal, probably natural. I don't know. Is it activated? Does that make it not natural? I don't even know. But point being,
I don't either.
Yeah,
I thought it was charcoal. I don't even know what activated means.
In a new segment I'm going to call Kimberly Googles Things For You While You're Busy So You Don't Have To, here's what I just looked up about activated charcoal versus regular charcoal. According to several sources, I learned that activated charcoal, sometimes called activated carbon, is regular charcoal that has been processed to add more oxygen to it in order to increase its surface area and thus its porosity, or how good it is at absorbing other stuff. That's why it's good at pulling poisons or medications out of your system. And that's why it also works well in water filtering. This should not be confused with charcoal briquettes used for your barbecue, because those are frequently doused in flammable chemicals, so they'll burn more quickly and easily. And if you thought activated charcoal pulling your medications out of your system was bad enough, it's reasonable to conclude that eating charcoal briquettes is not recommended, unless you've always wanted to be your own Roman candle. Do not consume charcoal in any form, people, unless it has been given to you under the supervision of an actual doctor. And if a doctor tells you to eat a charcoal briquette, run away! That's not a doctor, that's a cartoon character in disguise. Remember, one of this show's mottos is, don't die, we don't have time. This has been a helpful handy hint from Kimberly Googles Things For You While You're Busy, so you don't have to. Haley also took me up on my constant and wide-open offer to all of you out there to call in free ad spots. I've got about 200 listeners right now, so ad spots are still 100% free. All you have to do is leave me Facebook Messenger voicemail, and I'll drop it into the show as a permanent, free advertisement. I reserve the right to edit them for content, of course, and if you flub or need to restate a bit or leave multiple messages, I can easily edit all of that together. So it's an easy, free way to talk about your brand or your products or whatever on the show. Once I start having listener numbers in the thousands, though, and it is growing steadily with each episode, I will start charging for ads. So be like the people in past episodes who've called in for free, just like Haley did right here.
Hey, Kim. Hey, Eat the Evidence audience. My name is Haley Boykin, and I'm with BakingLifestyle.com. So it's BakingLifestyle.com. Well, it's my new blog, and I have a couple articles out, and they're specifically for home bakers in the state of Texas. It's about time management tips. I have an article about 5 steps to pricing your cakes and cookies. And I have a whole lot of articles on the way about how to get more customers and just common problems that home bakers run across specifically in our state. So check us out. It's BakingLifestyle.com Or you can check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation, because we already have plenty of people, lots of conversations happening. It's a Facebook community, so just go to Baking Lifestyle Group. I'd love to have you. See you there. Bye.
Speaking of sending in clips, I need to say a super special thank you to Shannon Orr of 1211 Bakery in Texas, who not only came on for a full chat in episode 8, but has become the first official Eat the Evidence field correspondent, sending me great clips and interviews from other cake and cookie shows all over. She's also been a huge supporter of the show and called in herself several times. Shannon, you are awesome, and your efforts are appreciated, and not just by me. Here's Heather Sherman again.
Hello, you wonderful evidence eaters. Happy anniversary. Kim, I gotta thank you. It's been a wonderful year of listening. I mean, it's like having friends over and you sit and you chat and you talk cake. And I mean, you just always have somebody new. And I love it. I love you. And we got Shannon. Thank you, Shannon. She's your agent in the field. She and C-3PO hunting down the newest, hottest cake news on the floor. You guys just do great so much. And I got to thank you so much for all your hard work and everybody who's been on the show. It's been a fabulous year of listening. Don't forget, eat the evidence. Love y'all. Bye.
Check out this great interview Shannon scored with the amazing Julia Usher at the Oklahoma Sugar Arts Show.
This is Shannon here with Eat the Evidence podcast, filling in for Kim Chapman, who's still in the UK. I'm with Julia Usher, the Julia Usher, and it's very exciting to be here at the Oklahoma State Sugar Arts Show. What do you think of everything?
It's spectacular. The show is incredible. We had a massive number of entries to the cookie division, as you know, more competitive than ever. And it's always a huge inspiration to me to see what people bring.
Yeah, there's a good variety of different things out there. Yeah, you had some 3D cookies and like 2D cookies and just all sorts of stuff. Was it really tough to judge everything?
It's absolutely tough to judge, especially as we were talking about earlier, when people conceptualize the same set of rules in very different ways. So some people might come in with a massive three-dimensional sculpture, and others take the rules more literally and come in with 12 cookies. So trying to make comparisons across very different concepts is sometimes hard. However, we have a set of criteria that we apply, and we try to apply as systematically as possible. So we had 5 this year that range from the number of techniques used through to the quality with which those techniques were applied, through to like sort of overall design appeal.
Yeah.
We assigned points to each one. Mm-hmm. We tallied them all up. Then we got together as a group. We had 4 judges.
Wow, 4.
And compared and contrasted our numerical responses to make sure that they really were in line with how we felt.
Checks and balances.
Yes, and every judge comes at it with a different viewpoint. So, you know, I'm a cookie decorator. Others were cake decorators. Some have expertise in painting. Some don't. Mm-hmm. So it's good, I think, always to get a mixture of views on pieces.
Yeah.
Because as diverse as the pieces are, the judges are diverse as well. Judging is always subjective, but we try to take as much of that out of the process as possible.
What is one of your favorite parts of the competition besides the cookies?
Of the entire show?
Yeah.
I think just coming here and seeing people I haven't seen in a while, in all honesty.
Yeah,
I work in my basement, like holed up in my basement. That's where it's dark, it's kind of, you know, it's messy.
Yeah.
I talk to myself.
Yeah.
So it's nice to get out and see real live people. Honestly, I crave it.
And
so that's the best part.
I think that's what a lot of people go through. This is like, we only just make cakes just to come here to talk to people because we don't get to.
And I have different angles on, you know, I do different things. So I have different people I know in different spheres. So, you know, I know the vendors here because I sit next to them at shows, but I also know Cookie Decorative Connection, or I know people that also do classes. So we have different things in common that we talk about. It's really nice.
Speaking of classes, are you ever going to do any here in the I know you go abroad a lot.
I go abroad a lot simply because there isn't really the demand to do them here.
I am demanding.
In the way I like to do them. So normally I don't like to host and organize them myself because there's a lot of administrative stuff involved with that. So I prefer when I have a host that's willing to kind of do all that for me.
You know, Jenny with the Creative Cookie, she's got the rehab house.
Yeah,
she
can
totally go out there.
Yeah, I've done a rehab with her recently, actually.
I'm doing one with her next month.
I taught with them when they were in Kansas City recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so that was really fun. So normally I try to find a host that'll pay travel, whole hotel accommodations, and also pay my teaching fee.
Okay.
The thing with that setup is I don't get paid a teaching fee.
Uh-huh.
So I have to make it worth my while to travel.
Right.
And there's just happens to be a much bigger demand for that type of course setup almost everywhere else in the world than
I noticed, like, on Cookie Connection, almost all of the, like, really intense creative artwork on the cookies come from all over the world, and it's just like, I'm like, somebody teach us here.
No, I mean, I think we have amazing talent here. It's not what I was saying. Like, there's a massive amount of talent to learn from here. What we don't have as much of are formal venues that are designed around bringing in instructors, paying them,
and
doing the classes. Most of the classes here seem to occur in formats of shows like this or SoFlow, where somebody, where you, the instructor, pay the fee to get there, organize the whole class, take the fees, and teach the class. And I just really want to focus on the teaching aspect of it and the creating aspect of it,
right,
and strip all the rest away and still make some money, you know, and not have me be completely at risk. You know, those forms of classes seem to be offered. I have a lot of demand in China, Asia, South America, and Europe, to a lesser extent for me personally, for whatever reason, but very little here. I do have some upcoming classes. I have one at Wilton in October at their headquarters near Chicago, and also one that will be happening at a cakes decorating school in New Jersey.
Julia has all this awesome stuff coming out, and she's going to explain it to us again because she is just wonderful like that. So
okay,
please.
Okay, so as you people may or may not know, I already have a stencil line. It consists of layered sets, 5 stencil sets that create these, I call them prettier plaques, create really nice message cookies, and they can be mixed and matched across sets, etc. By the end of the year, we're going to be introducing a few new stencil concepts, slightly simpler probably, but still layered.
Mm-hmm.
They're still under development, so they're going to remain a mystery for now. But more importantly, I've been working for about a year on a new airbrush, which I think is, there are a lot of good cookie decorating airbrushes out there, but I think it represents an advancement over what is there even so, in a couple of ways. First, it's a dual action airbrush, so I get more control because I'm controlling both airflow. I'm a control freak, so that's
control freak. Cookie air control freak just doesn't go together. I would never expect that ever.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So more control because I get to control both airflow and coloring flow at the same time in 2 actions, which are more or less a continuous motion. Big coloring cup, which I like because it's big. I can do cakes with it. I can do cookies with it. It doesn't spill out because I operate it in a 90-degree angle to the cookies. So in the small cups, the coloring almost invariably comes out. And it's super easy to clean. I can clean it all without taking it apart. So I think people will be thrilled with that aspect of it, especially.
That's a nightmare, trying to take those things apart and putting them back together.
No.
That has brought me to tears before, literally.
That won't happen.
Yeah. So that's nice. That's really good. Because there's things I want to do and things I just don't want to do, and taking those things apart is not one of them, and tweezers and all the stuff involved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you won't find any tools that come with it, because actually, all my routine cleaning I do without taking it apart. If you should forget to do that and let coloring dry in it, then you might have to take elements of it apart. But you can take the needle out completely from the handle end without removing the handle, without taking the trigger out. And then you can clean the nozzle end just by unscrewing it with your fingertips, no tools or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I really focus on just those areas of the airbrush that actually make contact with coloring. Like, there's really no reason to take it all apart and soak it, because like half the gun never makes contact with food coloring.
Yay. That's awesome. And like I was saying, that it's really sleek looking. It looks really nice. It doesn't look like it takes up a lot of room.
No, it's got a cool teal color. And now I'm regretting having mentioned brown as my color of choice in the other question. Because that teal is pretty slick as well.
Yeah. But, well, you can do teal and brown. They go together very well. So it works. Okay, well, I just want to thank you again so much. It was so great meeting you. You're a really lovely person.
Glad to finally meet you. We've just been crossing paths for forever.
I know. One day I'm going to meet her, I swear. And here you are. And it's fabulous. And I'm totally going to get a cookie. So thank you again.
Thank
and enjoy
you.
The show. And I will make sure Kim is probably going to be so ecstatic. She's also a huge fan of yours.
Oh,
so, all right. Have a good one.
Listener Tiffany Feldman of Treats by Tiffany in Florida posted the following comment in the Eat the Evidence community on Facebook about what she learned on the show. She said, I could read it out to you, and here's what she had to say. Congratulations on the 1-year anniversary. I love the podcast, although I am way behind listening to the current episode. I have enjoyed so many of your guests and topics over the year. I just had to share a little story of inspiration derived from your podcast. I had been trying to figure out a decorating dilemma. More specifically, trying to figure out how to produce a certain effect without having to buy a fortune's worth of products on the market. And suddenly it came to me, cue music, confectioner's glaze!
Yes, I honestly don't think I would have thought of it on my own. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, Tiffany, for such wonderful words. It really makes my day when people post comments like that, where they appreciate what's gone on in the episodes. And indeed, the Confectioner's Glaze clip was mentioned to me by many folks as a favorite bit from when the amazing Debbie Gord of Debbie Does Cakes was on as the special random mystery guest along with her friend Wayne Steinkopf of Swank Cake Design in episode 13. I'm going to play that clip in a minute, but first I need to play some clips from other episodes of people piling on the well-deserved worship for Debbie, in addition to the one you already heard earlier this episode from Mitchie. Here are Jackie Kelly, Michelle Green, and Shannon Orr, all heaping on praise for Debbie Gord.
Debbie Gord.
We love Debbie.
We adore. Every time I Googled, excuse my language, weird... up would come Debbie's name, and she'd already made it. And it was like, oh my goodness, I could actually make a living doing this because there's somebody else that does it. So it must be like a real thing. Can't be me just being weird. Other people are as weird as I am. How fantastic is that? If I ever meet this woman, I will just fall down with surprise because I think she's incredible, and she is partially responsible for my living in the cake world. I bow down. She is awesome.
She is awesome.
She completely is.
Did you see that towel cake?
Yeah. Oh, please.
I'm still kind of thinking, like, part of me would still not be surprised. I'll have to put a link to that in the show notes. It would not surprise me now if she was like, psych, and turns out that was real towels. I just can't even. I mean, her, like, the real the faux food cake she does. Yeah, it's a joke in this household that if I show my husband a picture of food, he's going to assume it's a Debbie Gord cake before anything else. He's like, well, is Debbie's name anywhere near it? Then it's a cake. But the towels.
Yeah.
How? What? Like, what sorcery is this? God.
She does use cake magic, doesn't she?
Friends who are experts in, I mean, I think of Debbie Gord, she's an expert in having the same tools that she's had for 20 years and doesn't, you know, splurge on new ones and just makes the awesomeness that, I mean, she's Debbie Gord, makes the awesomeness that she makes without having to get into all that stuff.
All hail Queen Debbie!
Oh, she's unbelievable. Man, that girl she's like secretly a magician.
I can call her a wizard. I'm like, sometimes she posts a cake and I'm like, sorcery! Don't know that this is real.
Yeah, she is very amazing. There's a few people in our industry like that who I just look at them and I think, oh my goodness, like there is a direct line from your hands to just like, I'm not religious, but like, you know, I don't know, God or some higher power, because I have no idea how you created that out of actual edible food. How does that work?
Yeah,
you
know, just, I know. Yeah.
Sorcery.
Constantly. My daughter just had her birthday and she's just turned 12 and she made herself a TARDIS cake and it was pretty good. And I posted it on Facebook and all these other cake decorator people were like, wow, good job. And I couldn't do that at 12 years old. And so I told her, I said, look, all these people who are very talented and very skilled saying your cake is good. And she said, yeah, but it's, you know, it's not quite up to Debbie Gord's level. And I'm like, Debbie Gord isn't 12 years old. Like, you can lower your bar a little bit, kiddo.
How about we have a little bit of perspective here? How about that?
Anyway, but I've been looking at your amazing bakes, that IHOP cake you did.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't for IHOP. They just had their birthday party at IHOP. And so it was like the older guy. I just wanted to make sure, like a couple people said, I did it for IHOP. I'm like, no, but they had it at IHOP, but they were really excited over there. It was fun.
It was fun.
So fun.
That egg.
Yeah. It's like, I was working on that egg, and I posted it on Facebook, and I was like, I'm really proud of this egg. And, like, a lot of my friends didn't get it because they thought it was just an egg. Like, maybe I just figured out how to fry an egg. You know, I'm, like, almost 40, and I just now figured out how to fry an egg. And I'm like, no, it's sugar. But, you know, that's, like, the best compliment in the world.
It is.
And, like, I was really even more proud of it then. I was, like, I had to go back and, like, caption it. But this is not real. This isn't a real egg. I just worked really hard on trying to make it look real.
Oh, you nailed it, because I was scrolling through, and I was like, why is someone posting a picture of fried egg? Hang on, is it Debbie Gord? No, it's Shannon, and she's thanking Debbie for advice.
And just, like, slightly. Well, she'd given me advice a long time ago on a frog cake that I was working on. And she told me she didn't like to give out advice or anything, so I don't ever ask her. She's just amazing, you know?
Yeah.
Debbie's amazing. And I worked on this frog cake, and I wanted to make it better. And so she sent me a message, like, PM'd me. She's like, look at a real frog. Like, get, like, a toy frog and sit it on something and look at it, and that's how you should work when you're trying to make something look more realistic. And so I just, like, that's the only piece of advice she's ever given me, and I've totally, like, treasured it. And I remember that every time I'm working on something. And so, like, I was studying lots of pictures of fried eggs. Like, it's ridiculous, but, like, the colors and the shadings and all that, and it paid off. And I just, it was that one thing that she said to me, you know. And I don't know, her stuff is always phenomenal. I just, mm-hmm. I really think she's sold her soul to the devil. I'm not sure what's going on there. Like, I can't even imagine to be a fly on her wall, but.
Yeah, the towels. I keep coming back to the towels.
The towels. Yeah, oh my God. I told her, I was like, I don't believe you. Those are real towels, and you're fooling all of us. This is the biggest Andy Kaufman scam.
Right?
Andy Kaufman. Yeah.
I just, like, I won't even be surprised if she comes back and goes, yeah, okay, everything but the towels are real. I'll be like, yeah, we knew that. How are those possibly cake? How is that cake?
That's, I still, yeah. All of it, man. And then she did the one for the grocery store, and it was like meat in a package and everything. And I'm just, I'm always floored. I'm always, always, always floored by her.
Yeah, me too. So. I worship her. And every time she talks to me and is feeling, you know, upset or stressed or whatever, I'm like, yeah, do you know that you're Debbie Gord?
Right.
Do you know that about yourself?
And she, every now and then I'm like, you're Debbie freaking Gord, you know.
We should, you know, we're not worthy. We're not worthy
doing
the Wayne bow. Yeah.
Debbie and Wayne told the story in episode 13 about how they met and how, indeed, she's very protective of her secrets.
Do you want to talk about how we first sort of met? Or you, you know where I'm going with this, don't you?
The secret or the in-person meeting?
Yeah.
Well.
Okay, so... I was friends, Facebook friends with Wayne, but we really didn't have any interaction with each other. And he sent me this random email, how do you make things shiny, or as we now call it, shinny, because people misspell shiny all the time. How did you make it shinny? And so I said, you know what? I am really very protective of my secrets, Wayne. Extremely protective of my secrets. So, I mean, I am, and I know that that's probably frowned upon in this industry. I'm sure it is, but, you know, I don't want, I'm sorry, I'm sidetracking for a second. I'm not forgetting about you, Wayne.
Debbie.
I don't want to open up my computer and see 50 copies of my cake, because I work hard to be unique. So when I come up with a technique or I discover something that I can use, well, I try to keep that close to the vest. And so Wayne, this person I didn't know, you want to know how to make things shinny. And I said, well, I'm really protective of my secrets, but I'll tell you, if you keep it to yourself, I'll tell you, confectioner's glaze. Okay. And this may sound like, oh, that doesn't sound exciting at all, Debbie. Well, nobody was using it for this purpose at that time. No one. No. Am I right, Wayne?
You're right, because nobody knew what to do with it, how to apply it, what, you know, anything at that time.
How to clean your brushes.
Right. You throw them away. You don't clean them, you throw them away.
Exactly. Yeah. Someone asked me, can you put it through your airbrush? Yes, if you plan on throwing your airbrush away.
Yeah,
you sure can. Well, anyway, so I say, okay, well, I'm revealing this secret to you. In fact, I think it probably took me like a few minutes, like, to actually, I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell, okay, confectioner's glaze. So I typed it up.
And then fast forward. Listen to this, Kim. I'm still friends with this person. So, you know, like, flash forward a few months, and Wayne happens to be on the show called Fabulous Cakes. And Fabulous Cakes is a pretty cool show. They followed, like, three bakeries while they're making a giant project, and they came up with fake prices for things. Like, this is $10,000! Yeah, right.
Whatever. So fake.
So Wayne was on the show, and he was making a deer head trophy, right?
By the way, another thing that I'm not good at all. And they wanted me to do this thing for a TV show. But go ahead.
Wayne's doing this deer head trophy, and he's making these eyes, and they're nice and shiny. And they say to Wayne, "How did you make it so shiny?" And he says, and I'm like, he's going to say anything else because he knows he's been sworn to secrecy here. Anything else. He's going to say anything. And he says, "Confectioner's glaze." And I'm like, oh, my God. I start screaming. I'm like, I can't believe he's saying that. I don't think anyone even paid attention to it. But, you know, that's what happens when you tell Wayne something that's.
Now, to be fair, at that time.
Can't wait for this. What?
Time had passed. I think maybe enough people had caught on to it by then. No?
Okay, maybe.
Luckily, Debbie did forgive Wayne and turned her wrath towards depicting violence through her artistry instead.
I did a severed head cake for this really nice family. And this was for their small child. But, you know, I'm like, you're nice. Hey, money. So, fine. Severed head. And it was really bloody. And I remember that I generally try to do my cakes the day beforehand, but in this instance, I had to do it right before I was delivering it. So I left my shop in a disaster. I mean, there was blood everywhere. And then I put it in this box. You know, I think that this is the international symbol. If you see a 12-inch or 14-inch cube, it has a head in it.
What's in the box, Debbie? What's in the box?
And I thought that, too. I'm like, oh, my God, if the police stop me for any reason whatsoever, if I'm looking kind of shady, they're going to look in this box. And then we have some splinter.
If only you had some, dare I say it, towels. Bum, bum, bum. Oh, my God,
so, Wayne, Kim thinks the only cake I've ever made my whole life is this set of towels.
No, it's just the one I'm most obsessed with.
The cake that is continually talked about on here.
Is that really true?
It is.
It's become, I think it's the most talked about cake on this podcast. And it's not because we think it's the only one you've ever made. Everyone's seen the food stuff and stuff you do. It's because none of us will truly be shocked if you come out and say, yeah, I was punking you, that one wasn't a cake.
It's an illusion.
A lot of time just by photographing real things.
You could really pull that on us now. We're all kind of on the edge of suspecting you are.
I'm gonna think about that.
That's how we were on the TV here, wasn't it? They played a game of.
That's right. And I actually have had people tell me after the fact, like, I think they showed your cake on this TV show. They did, and somehow I miraculously saw it. That was pretty fun. I mean, it's great to see people that you don't know talking about your cake. This could go either way. This really could go either way. And it has. I mean, I've been on a lot of British newspapers who apparently British people are not very nice when it comes to when they have anonymity to hide behind. Those comments are vicious, absolutely vicious. So I thought, okay, I'm going to watch this show with one eye open. They liked it. They really liked it a lot. And one person
really liked it.
They liked my cake, and they said, one of the guys said, this looks like something I would nick from a hotel, which
that's
was
right.
A fun and British thing to say, and I just thought it was fantastic.
Because, yeah, they played it as a game of, is this a cake or not a cake, because it was after the first episode, the season of Bake Off, they were doing these impression cakes, and it's just been hilarious as a decorator watching this show and watch judges be impressed by the innovation that is an airbrush. Everybody say it with me.
Ooh. One person say that was cheating, that an airbrush is cheating.
Well, they were wondering, like, oh, is that okay? And the judges actually said, oh, what a clever idea that was. And the next day I saw Don Butler posting about being on one of the BBC radio shows and taking a purse cake in. And I was like, did you use one of those fancy new air guns they have? And she's like, oh, I did. Because in case our listeners don't know, Don sells airbrushes. So it was like, yeah, in the Extra Slice episode, they showed some things that were a cake or not a cake, and people had to guess. You had told me yours was going to be on, so I was waiting for it. And I had my daughter was in the room, and she was waiting for your cake, because she knows, my whole household knows. It's a running joke now. Corin, what is this? Well, you're hiding part of the screen, which means you're hiding Debbie Gord's name, which means it's a cake. It's just like all the time now. But so we're both sitting there, and then they show a picture of a stack of towels, and I said, that's not it. That's not it. And Peo says, yeah, that's not the picture I've seen. And they said, no, okay, that one is a stack of towels. But here's a cake that looks like a stack of towels. And then on the show, they said, but that looks more like real towels than the real towels did.
I actually thought they picked some not very fluffy towels as their example. I think they just liked mine because they were fluffier.
It's so fluffy.
They look like towels. I mean, you could pick it up and wipe your face off with it or whatever.
Yeah. And you have that satiny band on it and everything. It's like,
how many people know this? You do not chintz on the detail. She works on details when she doesn't have cake orders. And you do this, especially with your food cakes, right?
You figure out
how the best way to get this texture or this look or whatever it is to make the most realistic thing, whatever it is. You're always doing that.
I do. I call it being in the lab. And I get kind of sad when I don't have time to be in the lab because, you know, I just want to, I'm not competing with anybody except myself, but I want to do the very, very, very best job I can do. And when I think, wow, I've done a great job, then 2 weeks later, I'm like, I could do better than that. So I'm never satisfied. I'm always pushing myself. I don't know. It's just for personal satisfaction because, you know, as we've seen, customers are okay with a lot less.
Yeah,
a lot less. As Wayne tries to tell me all the time, he's like, he has this expression, it's good enough for him.
Good enough for him.
Yep.
Because Wayne knows how to, well, first of all, Wayne's work is absolutely perfection. I just want you to know this. If you haven't seen it in person, you see these things online, you're like, wow, that looks really perfect. But then I saw it in person one time. I'm like, aha, I'm going to look at all the flaws. Wait, there are no flaws here.
And while Wayne and many of you out there are indeed making gorgeous, flawless work, we all keep coming back to this towel cake.
You know, so people ask me all the time, how was that done? Actually, someone asked me the other day, hey, so quick question. How did you do the towel? Well, you know, next thing I know, she's going to be on Fabulous Cakes telling everybody.
It was confectioner's glaze, wasn't it?
It was confectioner's glaze. Shiny and fluffy.
Yes. None of us know what we're doing, and we're very lucky that anyone bothers to pay us for anything.
No, I don't know what I'm doing. If Chuck were here, he would tell you how many times I've said this. I'd say, I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. I'm sure Wayne knows this too. I say this about pretty much every single cake I've ever done. I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. But, you know, I figure it out eventually.
One of these days you'll get one right, Debbie.
I keep hoping. I keep trying.
Maybe one day you'll get one of those cakes that gets circulated on 10 listicles. Aren't there listicles of just your cakes?
I don't know, but...
I bet you there's a BuzzFeed listicle of just you. I bet you someone did a BuzzFeed listicle of food cakes and they're all yours.
There is, actually.
Yeah, see? See?
I've been extremely fortunate that I have a lot of press for somebody who basically never gets out of the house. I mean, it's pretty mind-blowing that so many people know about me. And I'm kind of like shocked when, you know, I'm always shocked when you tell me. Someone, you know, on our show mentioned how much they like you. I'm like, really?
That's pretty much why I finish interviews now. And this is what I do at the end. Because I'm paranoid about the microphone and things. And so when it doesn't work, it's like, blah! So I'm paranoid this whole time. I've been checking, especially since last week with Mitchie, it was being problematic. So I've been checking it, like it's got a counter on it and it's got the red light. So it better be recording. So, but when I finish the interview, because it's very late at night for me, typically, like it's 12:01 right now. I turn the microphone off. I take the card out and I put it in. I copy the file over. and I play a bit of the file and satisfy myself that it's okay. And then I open Facebook and tell Debbie that someone complimented her cakes. And then I go to bed. It is now part of the
thing. I'm always surprised, and that is, I'm not feigning that.
I know you're not.
Always surprised when people tell me, "Oh, Debbie, oh my God, I just love you. You know, you're such a big influence on me." I'm always really.
I still brag that you talk to me. I
you
do.
Should, you should, because I talk to so few people. You know, you're very fortunate.
Because, like, you are probably one of the most famous decorators because of all those listicles in the press coverage. I mean, I'm not kidding with the number of people who throw your cakes back at Kyle and I and say, "Have you seen this?"
That does mean so much to me, because when you work alone, you really have no idea what you're doing is good or not good. You have no idea what people are going to think of what you do. And, you know, let's all face it. Posting things on Facebook now to jaded cake people can really do a lot to, like, destroy your self-esteem. Sometimes I post things and I think, God, this is one of the best things I've ever done in my whole life. And then, like, I get, like, 3 comments. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all right. The algorithm can sometimes do that. Because if you've only got 3 and then a half hour passes, Facebook decides it's not an interesting post. And so it doesn't come up for other people.
Yeah. So when people tell me that I'm a big influence on them, or they really admire my work, or if there's like a post that says, you know, tag who's your biggest influence, and it's me, I mean, I'm shocked. I'm always shocked, and I'm always going to be shocked. I don't take anything at all for granted, because I know that there's always going to be, and there are people who are much better than me, and there are going to be people coming tomorrow who are going to be better than those people. So that's why I don't, you know, compete with anybody other than myself. I just want to be the best Debbie I can be. And if other people notice that and they appreciate that, then all the better.
Well, we notice and appreciate.
Thank you.
Right, Wayne?
Now, how do you do the texture on that towel?
I'll tell you later on that. Just thought it'd be pretty two of us.
Hey, Wayne, will you call me back after she tells you and so I can put it on the air?
Immediately.
Awesome.
Yes, Debbie, I'll never tell a soul about Confectioner's Place. Wait a minute, let me sign this check for this billboard I just took out.
The good thing is how you're not bitter about it. The way you've let it go is amazing.
And so, Debbie, I will resist the temptation to beg you to tell us all how you did that amazing texture on that towel cake, and instead, I'm going to unilaterally declare that that cake is, in fact, the Eat the Evidence Cake of the Year for 2017. No other cake has been mentioned that often on this show. It's been on international TV. It's seriously one of the most amazing feats of edible artistry any of us have ever seen. This award has zero cash value and is not even in the same ballpark as a proper award, like from Cake Masters or whatever, but it is 100% sincere. So congratulations, Debbie. We honestly do all adore you and worship you and are all fairly certain you possess supernatural powers to keep putting out the amazing work that you do.
All hail Queen Debbie!
But aside from praising great sugar art, so much of the show has been hilarious stories shared by guests and call-ins and clipped from cake shows. Here are some of my own favorites and ones listeners have told me they loved. First up is a bit from episode 3 on how to win Kyla Meyer's heart and get her to do your bidding.
A funny story about that is I kind of crashed the meeting for the show committee for Spokane, which is the one that's coming up this year. And I was sitting there, you know, just observing and what have you. And they said, committees that we still need someone to run for. And they said, well, we need a tour guide. And I'm sitting there listening, tour guide. Yeah, great. And then they said, well, the tour guide this year will get in free to the wine tour and the tea room experience. I felt my arm go up like a little helium balloon. I was like, wine and tea? They're speaking my language. I must go. And they said, oh, we have a volunteer. And I was looking down at myself like, did I just do that?
Well, you were so bored with nothing else to do.
nothing to do. But wine and tea, you're speaking my game. So, yeah. So I found myself on the committee there for the Spokane show.
Casey Lackey and Megan Allison of Innovative Sugar Works told us in episode 11 about that time Casey's luggage bled all over an airport.
Oh, my God. This is a funny story. I think it was the last trip I did to Singapore. Sorry. They all blend together. But we do this unicorn. I do this, not the crafty unicorn. It's the Yuri, the running unicorn. And he's got glittery hooves. And so I had all this disco dust, like big containers of disco dust in my suitcase. And I always travel with some of the Amerigel black and super red because it can be hard to find in certain countries. And it's like the black. Some blacks don't color as well as that one. So I always have it with me. Oh my God, they dropped my suitcase somewhere.
Oh no.
And these are like 56 gram containers, like the size that we sell containers of disco dust. We sell the petal dust, not the disco dust, but like these 56 gram containers, five of them, and an entire giant thing of super black in my suitcase on everything. Like, you want to talk about a serious case of the glurpees? I threw that suitcase away.
There's no getting that back.
No. It was kind of like I was just in Nashville to do a wedding cake for one of my sister's friends. And just don't ever pack red food coloring. Just don't do it. Because I packed red food coloring and passion fruit puree. Landed in Nashville, of course, somewhere in my suitcase. And I thought I'd frozen them. I triple wrapped them. I triple bagged them. They were in like plastic containers. I was like, there's no way these are exploding. Yeah, they totally did. They thought it was blood.
Oh, God.
So they were like, we have to call airport security. And I'm like, why? They're like, well, because there's blood coming out of your suitcase. I'm like, because it was sticky from the passion fruit puree. So it wasn't just like, because it was the watery red food color and it wasn't the aerogel.
The perfect blood texture.
It was the perfect, like, I'm pretty sure, like, they should, screw using corn syrup, just mix passion fruit puree with red food coloring and make fake blood. It tastes way better. But yeah, so that was funny. Of me trying to explain to them what it was. Meanwhile, like, my luggage is bleeding all over the international airport. There's a big red stain on the carpet. It's still there. Over by the Delta luggage department, there's a red stain on the floor. Me! I did it! It was me!
Oh my God, it's a site for pilgrimage now.
Yeah, go find Casey's red food coloring. Because I was like, good luck getting that out of your carpet. I'm sorry.
Oh,
if anyone does find it, send Instagram that to us.
I should have taken a picture of, and like posted it on Instagram being like, this is why you never travel with red food coloring or passion fruit puree. But it was 2 a.m. I was so tired and I just wanted to go home. My poor father was waiting outside to pick me up. Like, he was in the cell phone lot at 2 a.m. And, you know, my dad's in his 70s. So I was like, I'm sorry. I'll never do it again.
I think a great solution would be for traveling with any colored liquids, those wine bags they sell.
Ooh.
Or traveling with wine in your suitcase. So most liquor stores sell those. That would be a good trick for anyone who needs to travel with liquids.
Yeah, except I already frozen my liquids. I'll try that next time. Except there won't be a next time.
Rosie Cake Diva was just so kind to me all through the Cake International show and a constant gem of hilarity as she hosted various cake celebrity demos. Here are two of the clips from episode 15 of her with Carla Pooge.
How long have you been doing it?
This December will be 2 years.
Sorry. Did you just say you have only been doing this for 2 years?
Yes.
Does anybody want to stab her? That's really annoying, Carla.
Oh, thank you.
That's true. It was, yes, I think she took it as a compliment. Carla, you literally have only just been taking this up and suddenly you're an expert. And now you are the Modelling Excellence Champion for 2017.
Thank you very much.
But tell me something about last night. Was there a little bit of a tear in your eye?
First I was shaking a lot, but then I just don't realize. And after this morning, yes, it wasn't a dream, okay? But
it's a very, very amazing achievement. And in 2 years, that kind of, I think they should have given you more than that.
Yes.
You should have literally got 2 awards for that. I'm very impressed. I don't know if anyone's asked this before, but modelling chocolate and heat. In hot weather, are you still happy using modelling chocolate on its own?
I think when you use it inside a room or something like that, it's perfect, because if you are not sweating, you are living in this house, or the chocolate resists perfectly. But of course, if you put in the sun, or also inside in the house, but with a window, with a direct light, the problem is that the chocolate gets lighter. Put it in the house, but not with a very...
Not direct sunlight.
Yes.
Have you ever had a disaster with that?
Yes.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
Have you just melted a figure?
A lot.
No. Oh.
Because I have a lot of heads in my home. A lot.
So Carla's house is just full of heads, zombie heads.
Yes.
And
I have like an atelier, and I put all the heads there, and I just close the closet. And after the summer, I went there, and when I opened the closet, this the worst image I seen in
Did
my
life. Did you have
life.
A molten mess of faces,
yes,
just literally
and
melted
arms
faces?
And fingers and
Did you? One thing I would love to know: did you take a photograph?
No, but
that's such
no,
a
no,
shame.
No, but I closed the closet and I leave. So if I come again, I can make.
Oh, so it's still there.
Yeah.
Oh, do we want to see that?
Yes.
But Carla, can we tell everybody what is your Facebook page?
Okay, Carla Puig.
Are you going to, for us, get that photograph
yes.
and somehow let us see it?
Okay.
Because we would like that. Would we not like that?
Yeah.
Just for fun. So, Carl, you're going to go back, open the closet door, and take a funny photo.
I will. Yes.
I like that.
I keep checking to see if Carla's posted that melted head photo on her Facebook. But Mary Carmen Gonzalez of Satin Ice and MCG Cake Design in Mexico City said she could maybe pull some strings on that.
I like All About Fondant, but I don't know how to model. It's kind of the downside of me, or I don't know how to say it, but I am really trying to learn how to model faces and,
yeah,
you know?
Because we go to Cake International, we see all those
exactly
Carla Puig faces. Yeah, I know, exactly.
What,
know.
Carla what?
Yeah.
Carla Puig.
You know, I just saw her at Cake International. She's been doing this for 2 years.
I know. I took her to teach classes in Mexico and then to New York. And since then, we have Chris, me, and her. We have like a chat and everything. And it's like, yeah, okay, don't show me anything that has to do with you and cakes.
Wait, did you get to see the closet full of molted heads?
Yes.
Because she said she was going to post a picture and she hasn't.
No, yes.
We need to see it. You need to tell her to post that picture.
Yeah,
she told the audience at Cake International that we would get to see that. And I put that on this podcast.
And she hasn't?
It's been a couple months since I checked, but I checked like regularly right after.
Okay, let me text her.
This is power, people.
Carla Puig. Put that picture.
We need your melted
picture.
Heads.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell her. Yeah. I'll tell her in a little bit.
So, but yeah, because she just makes it look easy.
Super easy. And 2 years. When she told me, I've been doing this 2 years. I'm okay, I'm quitting. There's not enough room for me and you in this world of cake decorating.
And you need to go back to episode 20 to listen to Mary Carmen's full interview for more cackling. And of course, the contest someone still needs to win. But now I've got to wrap all this up with the person most often mentioned listeners as a favorite episode or favorite clip or favorite running joke or so many other favorite elements, the one and only Jackie Kelly. Jackie was on for a full chat in episode 6, and several people have told me they listen to that episode repeatedly whenever they're stressed because the constant laughter and silliness just makes them feel better. I had to be very choosy in picking the clips to use because it was frankly just tempting to clip almost all of that episode. So definitely go back and listen to that episode as a whole and maybe avoid beverages while listening so I don't have to feel responsible for any laughter-induced spit takes all over your cake projects. I mean, the amount of underwear commentary alone.
There's always underpants when I'm around. What can I tell you?
We were worried about giggling too much right before we started, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But don't worry, everybody that's listening, there's a clean apron on top.
Plus, this bit from Jackie's talk at Cake International.
Also, dried spaghetti inside your sugar paste model goes squishy because it absorbs all the moisture. So it's no more supportive than a pair of saggy old knickers. So just don't go there.
IHOP, the International House of Pancakes, comes up a lot when talking to Jackie, and strangely, sometimes even when talking to other people about Jackie, or even just in the cake world in general. You've already heard Shannon Orr mention IHOP earlier in this episode, and here's me telling Cindy and Amy about the time Capital Confectioners Club couldn't even meet at the IHOP because of a conflicting event.
It was a bit legendary that one 1 month we couldn't meet at our regular time because, remember, Capital Confectioners meets on a Tuesday. We couldn't have the IHOP room because someone was having a wedding reception at IHOP on a Tuesday. And I'm like, that is the most budget wedding ever.
Yeah. Yeah, for real, at IHOP.
On a Tuesday.
Yeah,
Tuesday night.
Someone asked me recently if Jackie had finally made it to an IHOP, and I said I wasn't sure. But then in re-listening to this episode, I heard Jackie say,
I was an IHOP virgin. I'm no longer an IHOP virgin.
That sounds terrifying.
So that's a thing that happened. Jackie's episode is full of hilarious restaurant and travel stories, including this clip introducing the first stops of her big American tour.
So I had 2 days of working with Renshaw and the Renshaw Academy. Packed up the stand, came home, packed my bag, had a shower, jumped in the taxi, got to the airport, took the 10-hour flight, got off the flight and got straight into Dawn's brand new car. Thank you, Dwayne, her wonderful husband. Brand new car, and we drove all the way from Houston to, well, we were going to end up in Miami, but we got stuck on the big road, great big road, which is an interstate. We got stuck on the interstate. Dawn laughs at my directions because I just go, yeah, we're going to merge onto the big road. Yeah, it's an interstate, Jackie. Yep, the big road.
the road that is like half the width of England.
Yeah, big road. Huge, huge trucks. Trucks are like 4 times the size over there. That was the first shocking thing to me. They are enormous and very, very scary. There's not a great deal of indicating goes on in the road.
No, there is not.
There's a lot of changing of lanes, but not a great deal of indicating.
Oh.
And if you do indicate, it seems to be looked on as a weakness because then everybody speeds up in that lane. It's like... But then I did end up, my last trip was to New York, and yes, a red light is only a suggestion. It clearly doesn't mean anything because nobody stops at the red lights. Apart from the fact there's this weird rule where you can turn right on a red, which I don't get at all.
Yeah, that's everywhere in North America, possibly not Quebec. There was somewhere I drove once where it wasn't, and it wasn't until I got here that I saw that as a difference. But yeah, pretty much most places in North America, you not only can turn out on a red, you're expected to, so you will get honked at if you don't get a move on.
Oh, there was a great deal of honking. No indicating, but tons of honking. Yeah. They do make up for it. So we stayed in the middle of nowhere the first night because there was a big accident on the interstate and we didn't get quite as far as we wanted to. And I kept looking out for armadillos because I do have a thing for armadillos, but I only saw some flat ones and not sort of round, happy ones. So we won't talk about the flat armadillos.
You know, I lived in Austin all those years and I've never seen a live armadillo. I've seen a giant one in the Natural History Museum on campus. They have a giant old, like, you know, like millions of years old armadillo thing. Like, it's like the size of a couch.
Oh, well, Dawn did take me, we made a stop somewhere and we got to see baby crocodiles in a service station, which is bizarre to me.
That sounds more like Florida.
I have to say, there was a gift store and there was everything crocodile and alligator and related gifts. You could buy a stuffed pufferfish, which is not something we find in service stations over here.
No, it is
but
not.
But also, I discovered DQ, which I thought was like Esso. I thought it was a gas station.
It's ice cream.
But it's not. It stands for Dairy Queen, which was, again, a whole new world and completely surpassed IHOP, in my humble opinion. So... basically, I lived on peanut butter M&Ms the whole time I was there, but it was fabulous. But we drove a long time. I mean, it's huge. It took us like hours and hours and hours and hours just to get out of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I did see a fridge magnet that said, Texas, we're bigger than France. So it just tickled me. So, yeah, it felt like we were on the road for days. I was perfectly happy because Dawn's new car is not a car. It's not a van. It's not an SUV. It's not a people carrier. It is an ocean-going liner on wheels. It's huge. You could fit my apartment inside her car. In fact, I think the inside of her car is actually bigger than my living room. It's ridiculous. And I could have happily just lived in the car.
Yeah,
it was amazing. And for someone who drives everywhere herself, being driven, oh, la, I had to do my royal wave out the window. I love being chauffeured. Completely love it. And Dawn is the drivenator. She literally just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't stop. She seems quite happy. There was a lot of 80s music. There was a lot of 80s music. And there was an occasion me singing along, which is quite horrible. Dawn has a lovely voice. I have the voice that, well, I sing in the bath and the water gets out. It's really, really nasty. I did get told in the school choir that I was the words and volume and everybody else was the tune. So that kind of, I tried not to sing out loud, but really good music.
But I'm pretty sure the highlight of Jackie's trip was finding someone special in her bed in San Antonio. Let's hear the story first from the people who made it happen. Once again, Cindy and Amy.
We just found out right before the show that Jackie is absolutely just in love with George Clooney.
And yes, Amy and I,
we just had to do something. Did you see the pillow?
I saw the pillows. I did. That was so awesome.
So funny. Dawn was telling us a story about it. She's like, I have never seen Jackie react this way. It was hilarious. I was like, God, I wish you could have caught it on a camera, you know? But I told Dawn, I saw them at check-in. I was like, give me your key. And she sure enough gave me the key. And while they were out and about having margaritas down by the Alamo, I went into their room and placed that on Jackie's bed. It was so much fun.
That was brilliant. I saw that. I laughed for like 10 minutes. That was amazing. Well done.
She takes him everywhere too.
Oh, man.
Okay, and I felt so horrible. I was like, why didn't I think to get Dawn one of Adam, you know, her other hubby? So,
oh, Adam Levine.
Adam Levine. I didn't think about it.
I know, we
so
did it.
Disappointed I didn't do it.
We'll see Dawn again.
Yeah, we will.
I have had friends threaten to send me Hugh Jackman body pillows before. And what they think they're doing is they think they're provoking my husband. And my husband always says, who do you think keeps buying all the DVDs for? Yes.
Be careful if you ever come to teach in San Antonio. You might get a surprise.
Oh, well, sign me up because I'll do it for a Hugh Jackman pillow. Woohoo!
It was so funny. I was like Googling George Clooney shirtless with George Clooney on the beach. You know, I was trying to find all these photos of him.
When I did the Wolverine cake, our kitchen, literally on every cabinet and everything, had a different angle of Hugh Jackman's face. Some of it was as like the Wolverine doll, because that's actually a really good way if you need to make a figure, is to find like a sculpture or doll version. Like, particularly if there's one of these collectible hot toys, you know, from Japan dolls, because they've reduced it from the reality down to a figure for you, so you can totally cheat and use the toys. But I still had pictures of the toy, but pictures of actual Hugh Jackman all over the kitchen from different angles with measurements. But this is how long the nose is. This is how far apart the eyes are. Do you know he has a W on his forehead where his forehead wrinkles, and it's like perfect for Wolverine? Because yeah, I've studied his face, and it was work. It was work. But yeah, so I've had my whole kitchen covered in Hugh Jackman before for cake purposes.
Of course.
Research.
Someone needs to order a George Clooney cake from Jackie. Oh my God, that's what we need to do. We need to get like an Indiegogo Kickstarter together that we all get together. We just order a George Clooney cake just so she can sculpt George Clooney like life-sized for a week.
I was trying to find a life-size, yeah, like a stand-up, what are those, posters or whatever?
Pop-up, yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to find one of those, but I did find one on Amazon, but it wasn't Prime, and I'm just like, ugh!
Gotta have that Prime.
I couldn't get my hands on it. The pillow was a good fit, so. I heard Dawn tell me something about the, I guess, peanut butter treats or snacks or whatever being her favorite snack and George Clooney. And I said, okay, Dawn, I'll
I'll put the snacks out and the pillow out. I don't want to know what she does with any of it when I get out of that room.
She's making cakes. To all the young people who are listening, she's just making cakes. Very innocently.
Yes, very. Absolutely.
And here's how it went for Jackie.
And we had boat drinks for him. I didn't even know such a thing existed. So it's a whole new world. That's all I'm saying.
Well, then you went back to your hotel room and got something special, as I understand it.
Well, yes, we checked in that evening to the show hotel. Now, with all the shows in the States, there is always a show hotel attached. Not so much at the NEC, because there's so many visitors and there's so many different hotels you can stay in. But most of the shows in the States will nominate a hotel and then a second hotel and a third hotel, depending how big they are. So we booked into the show hotel. So we'd had this long day wandering around the Riverwalk, and we were maybe a little tipsy and very, very tired after SoFlo and the two Walt Disney visits. And we opened the door to the hotel room, and there's a very nice hotel, standard, two double beds. And we're just going, oh, which one do you want? Do you want the one next to the bathroom, or do you want the one next to the window? And I'm just stood just inside the doorway using words that I shall not repeat here because they are not good indoor words. And Dawn couldn't get through behind me because I had literally stopped dead. And she's just in hysterics, pushing me in. And I am standing there with my mouth wide open because obviously my bed has this amazing pillow slip with about 10 pictures of George Clooney printed on it. And the whole bed is covered in Reese's Pieces treats. And absolutely my idea of heaven. George Clooney in a bed with peanut butter snacks. Life does not get better than that. And I have to explain that this all came about because the organizer, Cindy, had said, is there anything else that you need for your class or anything else we can help you with? So at the bottom of my sheet, I'd casually written, well, if you happen to have George Clooney, I would love George Clooney, and of course Reese's Pieces would go down a treat. And lo and behold, everything that you ask for suddenly appears. So I have to admit, I was incredibly unladylike and flung myself onto the bed and did sleep cuddling George Clooney while munching on Reese's Pieces. Dawn said I drooled and talked in my sleep, but that's so not true. So, yeah. If I'm going back next year, you know, it's me and Hugh Jackman. I'm a fickle girl.
No. I want the Hugh Jackman pillow. I have to come with you guys, and I want the Or do we each get a Hugh Jackman pillow? Are they different pillows? Like, this is a thing now.
I don't know. You can have Hugh in his younger years, and I'll have Hugh in his older years.
I specifically do want a wolvy Hugh, like with.
Oh, absolutely.
With the lesser pointy hair. I like the sort of like a mid range. I definitely like Logan, but now it's sad, right? So an Origins Wolverine. That's kind of what. Yeah, that's when I made my Wolverine cake. Origins was the one that had just come out, the first one. The one where he's walking away from explosions constantly. Wait a minute, that's all of them. Anyway, yeah, so where he's in the brown leather jacket with the stripes. Yeah, so that's why. And so my head of Not Quite Hugh that I have in my kick-in, which sometime I'm going to have to bring the head of Not Quite Hugh to somewhere where I know you're going to be, and we can pose with him, and that will be hilarious. I call it that because I didn't quite get the proportions right, so you can tell who I was going for, but it's not quite right, so it's the head of Not Quite Hugh. It's all that's left of that cake. And he has a feature on my blog and occasionally has traveled and met people. It's a bit of a thing that I would have... It's a lovely, disturbingly creepy thing that I do.
Well, this just made my day. And I literally could not stop smiling at the show. I just, everybody that came up to me, I just went, I spent the night with George Clooney. And I legitimately did. George Clooney was in my hotel bedroom. So I have to admit that
I'll tell you about New York in a minute, but George did come to New York with me as well. He will be a regular feature in my suitcase. I know many, many, many of you ladies out there wish that you could just keep George Clooney in your suitcase and bring him out when you need him. I actually have George Clooney in my suitcase. It's delish. I did have to wash in my hand, though. He doesn't go in with my delicate wash. What can I say? A little bit of fabric softener on him. He's ever so lovely. Yum.
Oh my God.
Anyway, yep. George Clooney, Diet Coke, and Reese's Pieces have so much to answer for.
You know, we've been on the episode with Cindy and Amy. We were talking about, we need to all do a Kickstarter where we commission a life-size George Clooney cake from you that then we give to you.
You yes, get but to... there's no way I'm eating George Clooney, is there? Get real.
And now it's all out war.
Because even though as a qualified pastry chef, baking is not something I actually love doing for standard cakes. I love playing with patisserie and I love playing with recipes, but churning out cake, my, you know, when I win the lottery, I will have my own personal driver. I will have, of course, George Clooney and Hugh Jackman at my beck and call, but I would also have my own personal baker. And then I can just decorate to my heart's content.
You can make George bake for you, but you can't have Hugh because he's mine. But I might loan him out from time to time.
I might have to fight you for him. We might have to do proper full-on girly fighting here.
Well, that is fairly terrifying since you are the Scottish cake ninja. You could be behind me right now about to kill me and I would not even know.
I have no idea what Scottish cake ninja laugh sounds like.
So be careful, everyone. You never know when the Scottish cake ninja may have snuck up behind you, cuddling her George Clooney pillow, and is preparing to strike you with an old pair of saggy knickers. Hi-ya! Once again, thank you to everyone who has been on the show and helped support it over this last year. Keep sharing it with your friends, keep calling in, keep laughing and learning along with each episode, and keep being the amazing sugar artists I know you all to be. This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.